thank Pastor Vincent for having me back to share the Word of God to you this morning. Some of you may remember I was sharing the Word of God, preaching to you last year, last July. If I may ask you a very simple question, do you still remember which text did I use when I spoke to you last July? Almost 14 months ago. Now, it is hard, but when I walk into the sanctuary this morning, I met Brother Sam, and he said to me, Pastor Dick, wow, thank you for coming back. And he said to me, last year you spoke on Psalm 90, 1 to 12. And I said, I want to say thank you for such a diligent worshiper. And so today, this morning, I want to complete Psalm 90 by going to the latter part of what the psalmist has to say. And when I submitted my PPT, Samantha, she wrote me back. She said, Do I want to eliminate the Chinese and the French text? I said, no, I deliberately want to put it there so that to inspire you. Either you want to pick up some Chinese or some French, as you may. So going through the text, Psalm 90, verses 12 to 17, I would like to cover at least these three areas. First, I want to introduce you to a film that I like very much, To Live. In Japanese, it's called Ikiru, and you will see if someone has seen this film before. The second part I want to address is, why is it that death is such a pressing topic? The last part is, teach us how to reposition our life. To live. Now, this is a very interesting film for me to introduce to the younger English congregation this morning. If you were to ask me if I can name 10 films that I watched and I enjoy the most, this would be one of them. This is produced or directed by a famous Japanese director, Kurosawa. And the film was directed in 1952. The story of this film is very simple. It's about this main character, the lead actor, sitting on the swing. His name is Mr. Watanabe. So one day, Mr. Watanabe, he went for a general checkup. And then during that era, the doctor who examined his health did not directly tell him the results. And the doctor simply told him, saying that from now on, you should not work too hard anymore. Learn to live and enjoy life a bit more. So after Mr. Watanabe heard the doctor's comment, he knows that he does not have much time to live in this world. In fact, he only has 6 more months to live. Before learning about his illness, Watanabe had worked hard all his life, and he never asked for a sick leave. His colleagues at work nicknamed him a walking dead or a living mummy. Watanabe worked laboriously in a monotonous bureaucratic position in a local city hall for 30 years. He seemingly content with his barely living routine. Suddenly, the unexpected discovery of his life is going to end soon. He is awakened. He realized that he had never thought about the true meaning of life. He therefore desperately searches his life purpose in the remainder 6 months of his life. And in the end of the film, after a desperate search, Watanabe found one meaningful thing that he can do, and only he can do. That is to build a children's playground in a slum area. So maybe after today's sermon, you say you might want to take a look at this film. I must warn you ahead of time. This may not be an interesting film to sit through for 2.5 hours. It is black and white, no actions, and no special effects. But I promise you, if you do sit through the film, you will sure know how to enjoy a good film later on. What would you do if you were the protagonist, Mr. Watanabe, the lead actor in the movie, when you're told that you only had 6 months to live? Does it affect your present lifestyle or remain unchanged? What would you do if there is no tomorrow? Today is the day, your last day. What are the three things you want to do or you must do before your departure? What matters you the most in this life? The film Ikiru asks a very provocative and meaningful existential question. What constitutes a life well lived? By now, some of you might want to rise from where you are at and speak. Pastor Dick, we think you have spoken to the wrong crowd. We are but young English congregation. We don't watch this kind of old movies, let alone to watch an old black and white Japanese foreign film where you have to follow the subtitles. We watched La La Land. We watched Barbie. We all know that life is already tough. We all know that life is full of sad and depressing miseries. Why bother to drag yourself deeper into the abyss and allow yourself to be unhappy? Cheers. Let's not talk about the gloomy and pessimistic subjects anymore, can you? What have I been living for all these years? And that was the statement came from Watanabe. Why is death such a pressing topic? Last year, I spoke to you on Psalm 90, verses 1 to 12. Maybe I want to review with you together what the first part of this psalm is about. Psalm 90 draws a high contrast between God and man. Psalmist Moses declares that our God is infinite. Our God is eternal. Our God is unchangeable. In contrast to God's greatness, man is finite. His or her life on earth is fragile and awfully short. Seemingly, the psalmist does not have many good things to say about our life. Sam, can you pass me the plate, please? I have a demo. Thank you, Sam. Well, going back to Psalm 90, this is how Psalmist Moses described about human life. He said, one day we shall all return to dust, a pile of dirt. Whether you like it or not, sooner or later, you have to accept that is the fact. A watch in the night, the new grass in the morning, and in the evening, you cut them down, it gets dry and withered. This is the status of human life. Life is short, life is fragile, life is but a pile of dirt. Our days may come to 70s or 80 if our strength endures. And verse 10, 11, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. As I look down, do I see someone who is older than me? Do we have someone who is in his 70s? If you don't raise your hand, that's fine. 80s. Well, if this psalm, according to the scholars, was written by Moses, Moses lived up till 120. And someone divided Moses' life into 3 40s. The first 40, he was born into a slave family. And by the river, he was picked up by the princess. And suddenly, instantly, his life changed from a slave and became the prince of Egypt. The next 40s, 40 to 80, what happened? Sam. He trying to protect his kinsmen, right? And killed an Egyptian. And then he had to flee. And he went to the wilderness of Midian. And he became, from a prince, he now became a refugee. He now became a shepherd, a homeless shepherd. The third 40s, from 80 to 120. Do you still recall? God called Moses in the wilderness and asked him to go back to Egypt and lead his people out from the Pharaoh's hand. The last 40s, Moses became a great servant of God. He led the Israelites for more than 2 million of them out of the bondage of slavery. If you were to ask Moses, someone who lived from 100 to 120 years old, who had seen the ups and downs, the high point and the low point of life, and this is what he concluded life is all about. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. There's nothing you can grasp, hold on to, whether the good moments in life or the bad moments in life. These are what the psalmist described as the fleeting moments of life. My two daughters, Noelle, she will turn 24 this Christmas. And my second daughter, Pascal, she just turned 21. As I look back, I say, what happened to all those years from age 0 to 20 plus? Those were the good old days. And yet, they just gone, fly away. As if Moses is hitting the last nail in the coffin. Voila, c'est la vie. So what if you can live up to 70? Pastor Vincent, you're not there yet. Are you? Hallelujah. I'm not there yet. So what if you can live up till 80? My dad, I was going to give thanks to God. My dad will turn 97 this coming Tuesday. 97. And we give thanks for his good health. So what? How do you say so what in French? Et alors? No big deal. Sometimes this is how we look at us. Oh, I'm so and so. This is my card. I graduated from, I don't know, U of T, York, McGill, and all these big names. Oh, this is my degree. Oh, this is my resume. Oh, I live, is there a good area here in Scarborough? I live in that section of Scarborough. No. That area, yes. Yes, this is the car I drove. This is how sometimes we look at ourselves. This is how much we make. This is where I work. And so. One day, Confucius was approached by one of his students and asked him the question, "Sir, what is it about death? I would like to know more about what happened when you die." And how did Confucius answer? "We do not yet understand life. How could we understand death?" Confucius is not interested. Say, just don't waste your time. Well, why bother ask silly questions? We hardly know what living is about. Why waste your time to talk about something we do not know? This is from the film Ikiru, when Watanabe learned that he only had 6 more months to live. This is what he said: "How tragic that man can never realize how beautiful life is until he is face to face with death." isn't it true that sometimes we just go on living each day like a robot, like a living dead? We hardly slow down and pause and think why we are doing what. Maybe another way to approach life question is, if we don't know about death, how can we know about life? To live is to live on the verge of death. There is a thin line between life and death. In real life living, we may get the impression only those who are terminally ill patients are the ones that are living on the verge of death. From the moment we are born, in fact, we begin to die. That sounds spooky, yet c'est la vie. Every day we live, we are drawing closer and closer to death. I have had several living on the edge of death moments. At the age of 40, my family doctor gave me the warning that my heart was beating irregularly. It needs a major repair. Lo and behold, soon after she gave me the warning, one morning during a breakfast prayer meeting, my heart was beating at a pace out of control. If it were not God's saving grace, I would not be here to preach to you this morning. And someone may ask me, Pastor Dick, how come you're back again from Europe? Well, I need to explain to you, I came back this time on medical leave because I need to follow up with my cardiologist in Toronto. So pray for me. Don't get the false impression that I'm still kicking. I'm living each day on the verge of death. How many of you have had some kind of near-death experiences, just like that brother who just shared before? So very often, we may or may not realize that we are daily rubbing shoulders with death. Is it not true that death is not shy, hiding somewhere in a corner? It just wants to swallow us up. When death comes, it does not let you know in advance or ask for an appointment at your conveniences. Death is never a gentleman. He always shows up as your most unfriendly, unexpected, and unwanted guest. Don't ever kid yourself and think you still have a long way to go. What would you do if you only had 6 months to live? What if there's no tomorrow? What have you been living for all these years? Martin Luther, this is what he preached on 1522, March the 9th. He said, "The challenge of death comes to us all, and no one can die for another. Everyone must fight for his own battle with death by himself alone. We can shout into one another's ears, but everyone must be prepared finally to meet death alone. I will not be with you then, nor you with me." This is a very scary picture, but somehow we all know it, and yet we try to bury our head underneath the sand, ignore it, pretend it will never come, pretend it does not exist, pretend it will never happen to me. The Bible said the penalty for sin is death. Someone may ask, what is death? Why does it exist? We have to know that God did not create death. Death is not a natural part of life as God intended it. Thanks be to God, for whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. John 5:24. This is the promise given by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Christ's victory over death, therefore we know death is not an eternal separation. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If there is no tomorrow, if life is so fragile and short, and death is ever so present. So far, the psalmist has painted a very gloomy and depressing facts about human life. But when it comes to verse 12, it is almost as if psalmist here is pointing, telling us that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. And this is the turning point, the key turning point of Psalm 90. Look up. There's a way out. We can look up and God is there. He is eager to offer his help to us. He is an infinite, eternal, unchangeable, almighty God. He is our creator. We humans are his creatures, and we can count on him. Therefore, teach us, O God, how to reposition my life. If life is so fragile, if death is so preeminent, what can we do? We must ask God for wisdom to teach us to reposition every day for the things that we do. First, we all need to have a teachable heart. We have a young man in one of our churches in Paris. He is barely 20 years old, and yet he already became a social media star, an internet celebrity. And the next one is a cyber czar. Is that how you say it? A cyber star. He's a social influencer. Living in this day and age where almost everyone wants to become, to be a star, we want people to follow us. We want to give advice and tell people how to live, where to go and shop and eat, what to buy, how to make more money, and enjoy life. We like to be the first one to set the trend, to tell people what's in and what's out. I'm really wondering, how can a barely 20 years old young man can know so much about life in his tender age? Does he really know what he is talking about? Or he just know how to blah, blah, blah and bluff? I don't know. But I do know, one thing I do know, that is, Jesus once said, the blind leading the blind, both of them will eventually fall into a pit together. Matthew 15, verse 14. The psalmist here demonstrated to us that he was a man who has a teachable heart. When Moses was in the wilderness, his father-in-law, Jethro, gave him an advice for him to handle, listen to the problems of the Israelites would be too overwhelming. And his father-in-law said to him, you have to divide your work into teams. You have to train up leaders. And the amazing thing is, Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice. A teachable heart. Teach us, O God, that there is no Superman in the real world. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Verse 15, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. Teach us is a humbling admittance that we are not capable of, that we are not that smart, that we are in trouble. Our life on earth, we are to learn to depend on God. For without Him, we would be a mess and bound to get into big trouble. Teach us, O God, that we are not invincible, that we are but mortals, limited, and finite beings. Teach us, O God, to number our days. We must learn to drive in the slow lane. As I was driving from Stokeville this morning, the GPS asked me to drive on 404 and then take the 401. I said I refuse to drive on the 404. I took on the smaller road. It took me longer time, but I was more relaxed. In my younger days, as I look back, I was a terrible driver. Now that you look at me, Pastor Dick, how can that be? You talk so slowly. You're such a gentleman. No. I was a reckless driver. I was a terrible driver. I was an aggressive driver. If I were drive on the road, you better stay away. Because I got my license from Quebec, Montreal. Otherwise, I won't survive in Paris. Learn to drive slowly. Don't rush here and there in life. When we come in, I was literally amazed that the praise team and everyone was here already. Yes, this is important to have everything prepared. But it is also equally important to learn to slow down. This is the Lord's day. learn to drive no more than 50. Don't rush here and there. Don't be a multitasker. Don't try to conquer. Slow down, will you? Then we will learn to appreciate good things. I want to thank Pastor Vincent this morning for allowing us to reflect upon the goodness of God. Give thanks to Him. Each day, learn to pause. I cannot see what's on the screen. How beautiful, truly beautiful, Watanabe said. A sunset. I don't think I have really looked at one in 30 years. We just celebrated the Autumn Moon Festival a week ago. If I were to ask any one of you, look at the moon that evening, have you? Wonderful. Did you take time to take a photo? Next year. Enjoy the moon. This picture was taken by my second daughter, younger daughter. Wow. And this was in Stouffville. This is not Paris. He said, "Dad, stop." And then she hopped out and she took this photo. This is a painting, one of the most famous French paintings in Orsay Museum. It's called The Angelus, painted by Millet. Hundreds, thousands of tourists would come, go to that museum to to look at this painting. What are they doing? This couple, farmers, they pause. At the back you see the church steeple. The title of this painting is called The Angelus. The church bell would run three times a day, 6 a.m., 12 p.m., and 6 p.m. Every time the church bell rung, everyone stopped. Don't just give thanks to God once a year, once a day, three times a day, to allow us to absorb, hey, this life that we have is not ours. It is God's. Lastly, I have to go quickly. Teach us, O God, to have a heart of wisdom. Don't major life in minor things. Jesus said to his disciples, look at the birds in the air. They don't reap, they don't sow, they don't reap. Don't worry about what to wear, what to eat. For the pagans were doing that. When we go to work from Monday to Friday, don't major in the minor. Why are we making money? Why are we doing this and not that? May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. At the end, ultimately, of our life, it's God that gives the grading. Learn to count God in. Whatever we do, Colossians 3:17, whatever we do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. We only have one life. There's no repeat. There's no rewind. There's no replay. There's no dress rehearsal. Don't take life carelessly. Don't take life casually. Don't take life so recklessly. Every day is a precious gift from God. Learn to live each day fully for the glory of God.